I shall begin with a telephone call. It was 7:30 on the morning of 17 January 2001, Annus Horribilis, when I was awoken by the ringing. "He's dead," my mother said. "I'll be right over." Quivering with excitement, I told Eliza to break it to our children and to ring her father, who, as planned, would act as conveyor of this dread information to the press. 15 minutes later, I was at Combe Florey, turning under the Elizabethan archway, looking up at my father's house. Unless I am very much mistaken, it was sulking. A gaping ambulance was parked by the perron. My elder sister was waiting for me by the front door. In the kitchen, I was greeted by my mother and two sheepish paramedics. All three were ashen. Then the telephone rang. Already the first shoot of my father-in-law's grapevine, reporters from the Press Association seeking verification and a quotation. My mother answered, "It is hard to sum up someone so wonderful," I heard her telling them, "but I've been hanging around for 40 years, so that says something." I slunk out of the kitchen and shimmied up the stairs. In his room the curtains were drawn, but there was just enough light to acknowledge the effect. Open mouth, closed eyes, face a tobacco stain yellow. The spectacle was disconcerting, but for the first time at least, I understood what "he's dead" really meant. I sat on the armchair facing his bed and for a short while thought about death, endings, termini. There was no communication between us, not even in my imagination, and after a couple of minutes, the stillness of the room began to oppress me. Now what, I wondered. A prayer? Should I speak to the corpse? Am I supposed to touch it?